Hey guys, me and Dustin are back every week to discuss life, love, and of course, all things video related. So if you haven't subscribed, make sure you do so. Hey guys, Michael here with Video Bros. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We love you for it. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe. Thanks so much. All right, well, let's just knock this out. Ready?
Go ahead.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, Michael.
It never gets old, no matter how many times you do
every
it.
Every time.
You always
every
get me. Time. What is that?
I was just watching videos on my phone.
It sounds like videos of yourself.
Audio automatically played. I was Conan. Tim Coco. Conan O'Brien. I can't believe I don't have a drink. God damn, this podcast could not be going worse.
Well, you described yourself as hot and bothered like just a moment ago.
Yeah, not in a sexy way. I'm just fucking, everything is pissing me off. Everything is going wrong and everything is pissing me off today.
You know what? I think you are just trying to be too much like Joe Rogan.
What do you think? Why? He's calm. He's not angry.
No, you.
I'm angry.
No, the reason why you're mad is because we were supposed to start this podcast like a half hour ago, but you couldn't find the mic clip to hold the microphone. And I said, right, hold it with your bare hand like I do every podcast. And you said,
and I said, I'd rather quit the podcast forever than have to hold a microphone with my bare hand for an hour.
Yeah, you're just trying to be like Joe Rogan, minus the $100 million Spotify deal.
I mean, I do really, I have like in a shopping or like a wish list, I do want to get like a, you know, like a broadcaster's boom arm, the kind that's like a, you know, an accordion's out and you can move the microphone all over. I really like when I watch Joe Rogan on YouTube that he can just grab his microphone and move it constantly and you never hear it. Whereas mine, every time I touch anything, you can just hear lots of noise. That pisses me off. But the thing is, like, I feel like if I bought that arm, I'd want to hook it up over by my editing desk. But I don't actually want to do my podcast from my editing desk because
I'm not. Oh, so now this is your podcast? Look at that. I'm reeling you in.
Well,
you just said my podcast.
Yeah, well.
Wow.
But no, that's okay. Yeah, the mic clip pisses me off a lot. The fact that I can't find it, that is infuriating. I hate not being able to find gear. I work very hard to keep my shit clean and organized. I spend a lot of money on the perfect case for everything and trying to organize everything in the most logical possible way. You know, all the audio stuff goes here, all the lighting stuff goes here, all the lenses here, all, you know, like that, you know, and then it's that way, you know, with all my post-production stuff too. I have, you know, these 30 or 40 like little plastic bins on a shelf and every one of them is labeled. And it's like, these are rear lens caps. These are all my front lens caps. These are all my body caps. These are all my USB-C cables. These are all my USB-A cables. Like, I mean, I'm the most organized motherfucker you've ever seen. And so when I need a piece of gear that I just had a week ago and I can't find it, it makes me want to just set the house on fire.
Where do you keep your body glitter?
I have a no glitter policy in my home. My mother-in-law is a habitual violator and it fucking drives me nuts.
Wait a minute.
I think from
now
on. How
is that possible? How is that possible? Your mother-in-law frequently violates a very obscure rule.
She sends Christmas cards and birthday cards and whatever the fuck other holiday cards with glitter on them. You open it, but first, oh, look, a little piece of mail. Oh, fuck me. I'm covered in glitter for the next 9 months. Glitter is, it's basically terrorism if you think about it. You've decided for me that I'm going to have glitter on my shit, on my life. You made that decision without consulting me. You put that hateful crime in the mail, and now I'm glitter. I got the glitter. Glitter is the herpes of the arts and crafts world. I'm not the first person that said that. I stole that from somebody. So if somebody out here listening is like, oh, he took that from so-and-so's comedy special. Like, yeah, I took it. It's because it's perfect. It's the perfect way to describe glitter. It's herpes.
Well, shit,
so
man,
I'm pissed that I couldn't find the mic clip. I'm pissed that fucking PetSmart's being dicks. I'm pissed about the fucking DMV. I'm pissed that my fucking... I'm not allowed to go in the kitchen without my wife standing right fucking next to me. We don't have a big kitchen. It's a pretty small kitchen. And no matter what, how I time it, you know, I can look around the corner, make sure everybody's going to be there. If I go in there to make a sandwich, she has to stand right fucking next to me the whole time, making sure I don't have any elbow room. She just refuses to allow me to be in the kitchen unsupervised, and it drives me fucking... Like, I think if we ever, you know, do better in life and want to upgrade our houses, I'm going to insist on his and hers kitchen so she's not allowed to go in there when I'm trying to make lunch.
What? So what's the deal behind that? Like, I don't understand. Is she afraid you're going to make a big mess?
No, she just was like, oh, you're making a sandwich? I guess I want a sandwich too. And I'm going to not, instead of waiting like 3 minutes, I'm going to make sure that I do it the same time as you so that you're very uncomfortable. And every time you turn around, I'm going to be right there. And I don't know if she's, it might be subconscious. I don't think that she like super, the only time she's really aware of it is like every once in a while I'll blow up about it. Cause I'm like, I can't believe all these years into this marriage. Don't ask me how many. I don't remember. I can't believe all these years in this marriage, we're still fighting about the fact that you can't give me personal space when I go in the kitchen for 3 minutes. So I tried not to say anything. Like today I didn't say anything. I just inside my mind, I just became enraged, but I didn't let it out. I just kept it to myself. Now I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Probably next time I'm going to fucking flip shit. And by flip shit, I mean, I'm going to use a spatula to grab eggs and toss them on the floor. No, not really. I'm not going to do that. But so then I go to PetSmart. They're fuck. Okay. Here's the thing about this. One of the things that's surprising me about COVID is how many big companies and big organizations were not ready to conduct themselves properly on the internet. The amount of places that like you call them and they're like, we don't do appointments over the phone. You need to go to our website to make an appointment. And then you go to make an appointment on the website. And, you know, like whatever you're trying to do is not an option. You know, it's like, oh, go here to make an appointment for go to the DMV website to make an appointment for your license plate. And you go there and there's only options for driver's licenses. There aren't options for license plate appointments, or you can only renew, but you can't do something if you have a new car. Or like, so with my car, I bought a car right before COVID. You're supposed to get this like postcard in the mail, and then you take that to go get it. And there's like a certain like expiration date where you can do it online as long as you do it before it expires. Well, I get the fucking card in the mail like 2 weeks after the expiration date. So then I go to do it and it's like, you're no longer eligible because you waited till after you expired. No, I didn't wait till after I was expired. You waited till after I was expired. And then it's just one thing after, and then like, oh, you have to call this number to make an appointment. Then you call the number and they're like, we don't take appointments over the phone. You have to do it online. Then you go online. It's like, the service I need is not available. And it's like, they just got me riding dirty in this car. And then like it says, like, if you're driving with expired, you may be subject to legal fines and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to? It's impossible for me to register this vehicle. I'm not going to not drive for 2 months.
It's weird. I registered my vehicle.
When like, why would you like if the first thing was you had to make an appointment on the phone. Why in the fuck would they not just get some IT intern to make one web page where you can set appointments? How fucking hard is it? Like, you're the goddamn DMV. You handle tens of thousands of appointments, hundreds of thousands of appointments every year. You can't just, like, have a website for that? PetSmart has a website where you have to make an appointment for your grooming, but if you just want nails clipped, that's not an option. you can only make an appointment for like a full fucking $70 grooming thing. And I'm like, I just need the nails clipped. It's like $10. It's always been walk-in before. So I go in there and they're like, well, we're not accepting walk-in services. You need to do something, you know, you need to make an appointment online. I'm like, well, when you go online, there's no option for that. And they're like, well, you just need to do an appointment for full grooming. I was like, oh, so I'll just do that to get on the calendar. And then when I come in, you'll just do the nail clipping and then just charge me for that. No, that's not how it works. Oh, so in order to get my $10 nail clipping, I have to spend $70 on a full fucking shave and shampoo and blowout and fucking Brazilian wax for my dog. I mean, it's so don't tell me to go make an appointment online and then I go online and I can't make that kind of appointment. And then they don't answer the phone. They're just like, oh, we don't have phone service anymore. Like, so now I have to drive all the way across town for you to tell me to go fuck myself because you couldn't just answer the phone and tell me to fuck off. Everything has got me so fucking pissed right now.
Oh, well, I'm afraid to even ask about anything else. Can you hear all the...
Everything's great. Everything's great.
Can you hear the, like, leaf blowers and, like, the lawnmower and the guys playing paddle behind me?
Yeah. You're in your car because, much like my inability to go into the kitchen, you're not ever going to be able to just have, like, 40 minutes to just talk to your buddy on microphone.
But it's not much better out here.
Babies and dogs and, like, you'll probably get in trouble for something. With the white, oh yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's fucking great, dude. So I don't think we talked about my new client. I actually had a shoot last week.
Yeah.
So this client has a pretty cute office. Like, it's a nice, you know, it's like an old house that they converted into an office, and it's like right on the main drag, like right kind of. It's basically downtown, but it's a small town, so it's like a little, you know, 2-lane road. And I just thought it would be a really cute place. And there's going to be some cars driving by, but, you know, we'll use a... What is it, your window?
Dude, this guy on the lawnmower pulled up right behind me and decided to leave it rolling or running. So I had to roll up my windows, and my windows are making squeaky noises. The whole reason I'm doing this is because we've got this new nanny that's working out really well. But I was afraid that you would bring up the new nanny in the podcast, and I didn't want to be in the same tiny house with her talking about her.
It's cute that you think I remember you told me you got a nanny.
Well, the last time you brought up my nanny, I was practically in the same room with her. So it was a little weird trying to dance around that topic.
did I say, like, is she hot or something?
Yeah.
Is she?
What?
Is she hot? Is she hot?
Old nanny or new nanny? It doesn't really matter. I'm not going to answer.
Is she a
fox? I'm not going to answer that question.
Is she going
to
get you fired?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Is your wife one of these women that would, like, never hire a hot nanny? Or is she one of these women that sees, like, a smoking hot nanny and she doesn't even realize she's attractive?
No, I think my wife realizes. I think she thinks... just the best husband ever, so she doesn't care.
My wife is like, she doesn't know when another woman is attractive. She's always like surprised if I find someone attractive. When it's like, that girl's a fucking 10.
That's what you say about people that are fives. I'm always surprised at who you find attractive too.
Yeah, different strokes for different folks, I guess.
I guess, but you see, like, a redheaded girl with, like, sweat. She could be all sweaty.
First of all,
like,
what's wrong with redheaded? Redheads are...
No, I'm just saying that's your only criteria.
Women.
Oh, does she have red hair? And then, bam, you're in. It doesn't really matter.
Oh, is that what you think?
Yeah,
I don't...
Nothing else matters.
I don't know. I mean... She's basically walking around seeming healthy. She's got, you know, two legs and two arms-ish. You know, she's not morbidly obese. It's good enough.
Well, I mean, listen.
Anyways, the new nanny's working out great. She's got COVID. and now you do too.
See, you're so freaked about coronavirus. I'm really not. I'm really not. I'm borderline not gonna wear a mask.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Video Bros Podcast. If you want to ask a question, leave a comment, you can do so by messaging us at Video Bros Podcast, all one word, on Instagram.
Oh, I mean, I'm taking chances left and right.
So is everybody else. Dude, I'm getting so angry at the people who are like, oh, you gotta wear a mask, gotta wear a mask. And then I go places and these people have their fucking masks hanging off one ear. They're like, they take their fucking mask down to cough. They like, I'm like, you guys are so stupid. What is the point of all this? Either wear the fucking mask or don't, but don't force me into some social contract where you guys aren't going to uphold your end of the stupid bargain.
I mean, my feeling is that I completely understand both sides. Like, I understand the people that want to do everything they can to be safe, and I also understand the people that are just like, you know, hey, we did this thing for 2 months. I'm ready to get back on with life. If I get it, I get it, whatever. Like, I totally see both viewpoints. So I try not to get really mad at either, you know, whatever anybody wants to do. You want me to wear a mask, I'll wear a mask. You don't want me to wear a mask, then I won't wear a mask. Like, what? Like, I'm just kind of go with the flow about it now. I mean, which is a big shift. I mean, you go back in this podcast a couple of weeks and hear me calling all my in-laws murderers and... You know, just really questioning whether or not, you know, my wife is built for survival. I still try to be understanding and compassionate of no matter which side you come down on, which is not really like my normal personality. Usually I pretty much make up my mind that one side of everything is completely wrong and fuck those people. But on this one, I'm just like, hey, man, we're all on a different timeline and we're all basically having the same feelings and fears and concerns, just not necessarily on the same schedule, you know, because let's say, you know, two people completely disagree. Well, 2 weeks later, one of them might come around to seeing that the you know, they might switch places, or 2 hours later. I mean, the way this stuff comes is you're constantly having to reevaluate your stance and reevaluate what the priorities are and what the right approach should be. It's difficult. Did you roll the window down or?
It's getting hot in this car, man. You know what the funniest part of all this is?
I really don't think the car is a good place for this.
They finally, another lawnmower came by, and then when he parked it, he turned it off and I was like, oh great. And then it backfired.
Oh my gosh, I didn't hear that.
I don't think most people are going to hear that part, but I'm just sitting here like in the loudest environment possible, sweating in my car. It's only 70 degrees out and I'm like sweating because my car is like 90.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear about that videographer?
I didn't finish telling you about my job that I shot and how I thought it would be a good idea to do all the A-roll right in front of their office because it was cute. And I thought, you know, there's traffic here, but it's really pretty light traffic the times I've been here. And I figure, you know, it's mostly just small cars coming through. We'll use a boom mic. We'll get it close. We put up sound blankets and, you know, there could be a little background noise or whatever, but I don't really think it's going to ruin it. Dude, the whole fucking, I mean, it took us, we were shooting the A-roll talking head stuff for 3 to 4 hours. And I mean, it was just dump truck and garbage truck and 18 wheeler. Oh, okay. Just like that. No, but literally it was just nonstop the world's loudest engines and motors. And I was just like, I don't understand why it sounds like we're on a highway and we're basically in a small town road. And it was complete. I mean, I have so much regret. And I'm just like, okay, I guess I'll just never take a chance ever again. I'll just always pick a good audio situation and just not care if the image is pretty or cute or boring or I don't know what else to do. There's like nowhere else. There's nowhere else at this business that I really kind of could shoot it, because inside their office, they're not going to turn off the phones for 4 hours. They got people in there answering phones, making appointments. The phone's ringing. They're talking. They had the world's loudest, most awful sounding air conditioner. And then it's not even that cute in there. It's like, there's literally nowhere else to do it. And I'm supposed to work with this client every month, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I know there's not budget for me to go get like a studio space.
Yeah, that's always fun.
It's a disaster. I mean, the other option is that the business owner lives nearby. So we could do it at his house, you would think. But they've got like 75 kids, you know, and his wife is like a stay-at-home mom. So the kids are there all day just making the most amount of noise and fighting. And then he's constantly going to have to parent and stuff, which is just, why do people keep having children? I don't understand. Why do people have kids? It's so awful.
I think you should have one kid.
That's the worst. If you have one kid, you're choosing to raise a fucking asshole.
No, I'm saying you, Dustin. An only child? I'm saying you should have one kid.
If you have one, you have to have two, or else you're raising a little asshole.
Hey, I was an only child.
Well. No, you're one of the good ones. You're one of the good ones.
You sent me that article about the videographer.
Yeah, so morning. Let's talk about this guy.
Well, I'm going to play a quick clip.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, Mary, thank you. New tonight at 6 o'clock. A follow-up to our story about the man who was held to his contract and refused a refund for a wedding deposit.
His Colorado Springs bride died unexpectedly in a car crash long before the big day, and the story has now shifted to the owner behind the company.
Cardio has learned there's now a pending investigation into him and his questionable business dealings across the country. News Channel 13's Julia Dedeman tells us what she uncovered.
Thousands of people have joined the online backlash, including former clients and contracted employees who claim their money was stolen by Copper Stallion Media and the man they say is behind the company, Jesse J. Clark. Around 30 people reached out to KRDO from Colorado, California, Massachusetts, Texas, and Nevada. The couple say they never received a wedding video.
You can't go back and recreate footage. It's irreplaceable.
And the photographers claim they never got paid.
I did 9 or 10 weddings for them, and they've only paid me for 4 or 5.
The Nevada Consumer Affairs Office confirms they are investigating Jesse J. Clark, but wouldn't give us any details. They tell us if they find any criminal wrongdoing, they'll turn over their findings to the Nevada Attorney General. In 2013, Clark was sued by the Massachusetts Attorney General for taking money from over 100 couples and never delivering their videos. The AG's office said it was never able to collect the $500,000 in judgments from the case before Jesse Clark left the state. Massachusetts lawyer Nick Fry, who filed separate lawsuits, says Clark owes his clients an additional $100,000 for not delivering services they paid for.
As soon as the heat kind of gets on him in one place, he moves to another place, changes the business name, and just keeps doing it.
People who call themselves Jesse's victims tell me they've been pushing for legal action for years.
A lot of false hopes, and then only just to be let down again.
I don't think he'll ever stop on his own. He's just going to start a new one and a new one.
On Wednesday, the popular wedding planning website The Knot, where Justin found the company, told me it's recently discovered the man behind the Copper Stallion page was Jesse J. Clark, but he was using a fake name, so a spokesperson tells us they've taken his page down. The site is one of a few where an online feud between Copper Stallion and Justin Motney has erupted over the last week after the company refused to give him a refund, saying he signed a contract which states the deposit is non-refundable. Copper Stallion later made a website called justinmotney.com defending itself and posting this message on its company Facebook page saying, quote, "After what Justin pulled with the media stunt to try and shake us down for a refund, we hope you sob and cry all day for what would have been your wedding day."
Now, we've reached out to Copper Stallion Media directly numerous times since last week, but have not gotten a response. The Colorado Attorney General's office told us it has no comment on Jesse J. Clark. Live in the newsroom, Julia Donovan, KRDO News Channel 13.
This story just continues to leave me speechless.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
People out there that do that. Yeah.
Realistically, the guy should have just given a fucking refund.
Here's the thing. Like, when you read that, like, I read an article that basically was like, he's operated a bunch of fraudulent like he had, he's right. had a bunch of aliases. So this dude, he's not like a regular videographer that actually does stuff. Like, I think he just doesn't give a shit because he knows he's never going to do anything and he's going to start a new business name. Like, it's not, I don't think he's an actual decent person who does work. I think he's a scam artist.
He is a scam artist. One article I read said that, and so I had actually heard of this guy before, but this is the same guy that there were like 90 couples that he took money from and then didn't shoot their wedding and then just left town in Massachusetts a few years ago. So this guy just is a habitual scam artist. He takes deposits and then like sometimes he sends people to shoot, sometimes he'll send somebody out to shoot and then not pay them. You know, like he'll send out another videographer under him as a subcontractor and then not pay those people. Sometimes he just doesn't send anybody at all and he just moves town. Sometimes he'll get it shot and then he never gets around to editing it. And then when he's got 90 people, you know, like at one point it was literally local news crews chasing him out of his home and he gets in his car and runs away or whatever. And he just picks up and moves to a new city and starts all over, takes a bunch of deposits, takes a bunch of, I mean, he's a full on scam artist through and through. But like, let's say it wasn't this guy. Let's say he's a legitimate videographer who's had a good business for a long time and has a no refund policy. And then this happened. Like, let's say it happened to you. Would you have given a refund?
Yeah,
I would too. My contract always said no refunds, absolutely no refunds for no reasons whatsoever.
Yeah.
And the reason is I want all the power to be able to use my good judgment if somebody's trying to fuck me, because unfortunately in the world we're living in, people will absolutely take advantage of us if we don't have strong contracts. I've had clients that paid me in full, then I shot their wedding and then would not correspond with me for over a year after their wedding. I could not get them to return emails, couldn't get them to return phone calls, called their cell, called their work, call, you know, just could not. I just go, hey, I finished your video. I want to send it to you. Like, or, you know, or like, hey, I want you to, you know, you're supposed to help me pick music for like just something. And like, literally you will not talk to me for a year after it. So you can't not, you know, that's why you have to get paid up front. And then as far as, you know, deposits being non-refundable and stuff, I've had a client that, you know, we had multiple phone consultations. Then they came into the office. This is where I worked at a place where we had an office space. Then came into the office, watched a bunch of wedding videos with us in our theater room for a couple hours. And, you know, it's like we've spent hours and hours and hours with this woman. We know every detail about her wedding. She's super excited to have us. She books us. We get the deposit. Then 6 months goes by. And then she's at a fucking bridal show and some other videographer talks her into a cheaper price and she signs a contract with them and tries to back out on us. And we're like, you already paid for this. You booked this 6 months ago. You can't do that. And then, you know, and then the other thing are how many times have people promised you they're going to book, but they just, I just need it next paycheck. I just need it next paycheck. And then they never do. And there were a couple of times, like in my first year or two, where not a couple, several times where somebody promises me that they're going to book and then I pass on somebody else that inquires for the same date. And then that original couple ends up never booking. And it's like, I could have made money on the other couple, but I said, no, so you get to a point where you go, I'm never going to give anybody dibs. You know, I'm never going to give anybody a refund because people do shit like that. Yeah. So then you have these really strong contracts where you're protecting yourself from stuff like that. But then when it comes down to it, well, then the other thing is, if it was we broke up last minute, I would not give a refund either. Because my feeling is that, you know, I, when you're booking us, you're booking us not doing anything else on that day. So there's opportunity cost there where it's like you're booking a commitment on my part that I'm not going to do anything else to make money on that day or that weekend. And, you know,
well, and
at a certain point,
it's going to take a week or two of your time to edit. So you're blocking out that time.
Right. And so you say, well, now you don't have to edit if I cancel. It's like, yeah, but I could have done somebody else's wedding that day. But I couldn't because I gave that day to you. And so my feeling is if a couple ever broke up, I would not give a refund. And that's what that's where I always thought that would kind of come from. Either they find some other videographer and they get impulsive, or they break up. And my feeling is like, hey, man, you shouldn't have said yes when that dude got on his knee, or you know what I mean? Like if you're in a crazy relationship where you break up and get back together all the time and you're constantly breaking up, or, you know, you were going to break up, but you gave him an ultimatum and now you're getting married and now it doesn't work out right like that's not my fucking problem. You know, when you get engaged, if you're getting engaged to the wrong person, that's not my business. Isn't going to be hurt by that. But when it comes down to the bride died unexpectedly, even if I'd already spent the money, worst case scenario, I'd just go, I don't have the money right now, but let me book another wedding or two and I will pay you back. It might take me a couple of months. It might, you know, hey, we're in the off season. I'm not booking right now. Next spring, something like at some point, yeah, I'll give you your deposit back. Your wife died. Maybe I don't have the money today. You know, which is probably, you know, I could see that happen a lot of times. Somebody just wanted to give a refund because they're like, I already paid all my bills with it when you gave it to me 3 months ago. You know, we live off of that money. Right. It's not like wedding videographers and vendors. We're not taking these deposits and putting them into an escrow account. We're living off of them.
Sometimes I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I have an escrow account. It's literally called escrow account in my
and it's for wedding stuff.
But it's not a real escrow. It's just account that I set up.
It's basically a checking or savings account, but you're behaving, it's being treated as an escrow.
I don't do it with most deposits. So I'll give you that. I take a certain percentage so that I have, if I need to refund one or two weddings throughout the year, I could do so. Man, you type like you type like one of those people. You ever see Meet the Parents where he's standing in line or he's at the ticket counter at the airport and the lady's like furiously typing? That's like you.
I'm a fast type. Didn't we do over this last podcast?
I don't know. It does
and then
feel
I put the
familiar,
microphone by the keyboard.
My wife does the
really
same thing.
Aggressively.
My wife does the same thing where she types like that.
How do you type with two finger or one finger?
Pinky only. I would definitely give a refund. I've given refunds for smaller things, for like less tragic things. So I would
like
definitely
what?
Give a refund on this.
See, I don't actually think I've ever given a refund.
I'm about to give one
but
for coronavirus.
I don't remember any. If you want to know the truth, the only time anybody's ever even asked me for a refund, they wanted a partial refund. It was the client that I was just telling you about that wouldn't answer my emails for a year. So he finally got back in touch with me like 14 months after his wedding. And he was saying, since it took you so long to get our wedding to us, we want a refund. And I was like, no, it took a long time because of you. And I could show him. I was like, and I listened. I was like, I emailed you on this date. And I've called you at least, you know, I'm sorry I didn't log the days that I called you, but I know for a fact that I've called you 6 or 7 times, blah, blah, blah. And the guy was just, he was just fucking trying to be an ass. He was trying to ask for free. He booked me right before his wedding. And there were some things he was trying to get me to throw him for free. And I just said no and said no and said no. So then he just didn't talk to me for a year and then came back at me and was like, since you took a long time to do this, could you go ahead and give me all that shit for free? And I was like, no, I said no. I said no last year. It's still a no.
Oh, but, boy.
Yeah, no, other than that, nobody's ever, like, I've really never had a cancellation before.
I've had a few. I've done everything from no refund to I'll do a partial refund, like 50%, to full refund. So yeah. It kind of runs like, the gamut, but it doesn't happen very often.
And just to be clear, so I don't sound like I'm making shit up, that story I told earlier about the client that booked us and then went and booked somebody else.
No, that sounds like something that would happen
out.
To you.
that was when I was that was when I very first started. I was working for another company, so that wasn't my company. But what we did was we held strong, and there were two wedding videographers. And by two, I mean two companies. So really there were five wedding videographers because we used to roll with three, a crew of three, and then the other one were a crew of two. So in addition to their stills, they had five wedding videographers and they got two completely separate videos and we didn't share footage with them. They didn't share footage with us. Theirs came out a few months before ours, or, you know, theirs came out way faster than ours, but ours was way better than theirs.
Yeah.
And after that, I put in my contract that we would be the only videographer. Or, you know, after I start, when I started my company, I made sure my contract said I would be the only videographer because I was never going to do that again. That was awful.
Yeah. That sounds like a very weird situation.
Could you imagine if you showed up to shoot a wedding, you and another guy, or and then there were three other videographers there also, and y'all weren't working together?
Who shot it better? You guys could do your own show.
The bride just thought that she could convince us to cancel our contract, and we just held strong, and the other company held strong, and it was awful. And then, so the other videography company were a husband and wife team, or actually I think they were engaged, but they were like dating and they were about to get married, and the guy had really long hair. And I don't know what happened, but I remembered at one point, toward the end of the, kind of in the middle of reception, end of the night, whatever, I walked into a room where we had our equipment or whatever, and the guy videographer from the other company was just bawling, just crying uncontrollably, and the wife was hugging him. He was sitting down. And she was standing up hugging him. So like he was crying into her stomach basically. And she was petting his long hair. And I was just like, what the, look, who knows? Maybe his mom died that day. Maybe like, you never know what people are going through. Maybe it was he was going through something, but I'm just like, dude, you're at work crying like a bitch. What the fuck is going on? And I just wanted to be, obviously I never told anybody, but I wanted to be the client like, hey, you know, of the two videography companies you hired, only one of them is in the back room crying like a little girl right now. So and then I think I ended up being friends with her on Facebook for a while. They were out of Dallas and what happened to them. No, I never did. You think I should message her today and be like, hey, remember that time your husband was sobbing into your stomach and you were petting his long mane? What was the deal there?
We should get him on the podcast. We should have him call in.
Oh, that would be... what if we... if they're still doing videography... What if we have them on to just like, we don't tell them that. And then then we ambush them with it.
I love it.
That would be so fucking awesome.
Yeah. I guess they could always hang up.
I think maybe her name was Kelly. Now that I think about it, I think,
I stopped
being
her last name.
I don't know how many female videographers, wedding videographers are there in the Dallas area named Kelly? It couldn't be that hard to find.
We could probably narrow it down to two people.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy, man.
So, did we talk adequately enough about the douche, the piece of shit? Oh, so then the other thing is that there's people here in our market, here in Colorado area, that say they worked for the guy in the last year and were not paid. One thing that kind of pisses me off about the whole situation is that it's happening here in our market. Doesn't all of this kind of sound like it should be Florida man doing this?
I mean, who knows? I feel like...
Everything about this story sounds like a Florida man. So the fact that it's happening here in Colorado, I'm like, dude, you're embarrassing us.
I think this person travels all around. He's a con man that crosses state lines.
Well, he ought to travel down to the southeast corner of our country where other people like him can be garbage.
Hey, did you watch that video I sent you? It's called Lowland Kids.
No.
I texted it to you. I feel like you never watch the videos I send you.
Usually when you send me videos, I'm busy and I say, I'll have to watch this later, but then I don't.
Well, I sent it. I sent it because I thought, I was like, oh.
Is it from your boyfriend, Peter McKinnon?
No, 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 no.
Whatever the fuck his name is?
No. This video that I sent you.
Jesus Christ, it's 22 minutes long.
Dude, but look, just watch the style of it. You don't have to, you just skim through it and see the style.
I'm watching it now.
It's so badass.
Looks like he's using Helvetica font. Okay. Silhouette, handheld.
Everything, we've talked about my style and what I like and what you like, and I would say this video is like, it's basically everything I like all in one video.
Yeah, cool. I already don't like it.
Really? What do you not like about it?
I mean, I don't know.
Everybody can just Google Lowland Kids. It's on Vimeo.
I'm a little bit giving you a hard time. It's not that I don't like it. It's just not what I like to do. I like controlled, motivated movements. I don't necessarily like just camera shake just for the sake of style.
I feel
but you do.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's called Lowland Kids, right? I remember that correctly.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your hairy face, not my screen. So.
Yeah, no, I'm watching it. It's fine. It looks good. Is there an audio to it that would make it more story or?
Oh yeah, you don't have the volume up, which is fine. But
obviously not. I'm in the middle of a podcast.
Yeah. Here. No, I get it.
Well, I have headphones on. I guess I could listen to it.
Hey, do you think that with like the advent of Netflix and all these different streaming platforms, that there's just so much content out there now that like nothing is really special anymore? Because you think like back in the day, like primetime shows used to have like a 34 million market share or some insane number of people that would watch. And now it's so fragmented that it's like, I don't know.
Well,
like,
I think it's definitely harder to have something that is, it's harder than ever, I think, to have something that like everybody knows about. That's like just a kind of a big cultural, like it's harder to, I guess, break through in a way.
Yeah. It's harder to stand out. I was like, everybody's recording everything on their phone. Everybody's on Instagram selling a course. Everybody's doing everything. And I'm just wondering, like, does it just devalue everything? You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. When something is very good, it still is very good. And it still can move you and can still matter to you as much as, you know, when there was only two or three things around. You know, like, there were thousands and thousands of movies or whatever, but I watched 1917 last night again, and I bought it, and I'm pretty sure I'm gonna end up watching this movie 20 fucking times this year. And so I still feel that if you make a masterpiece, people will appreciate it. Maybe not everybody, but you will still find an audience of people, and you can still make an impact on somebody. You can still make somebody really value what you've done. Like, you know, it's not like I go like, man, if 1917 came out when I was in high school, I'd watch it 20 times, but it came out this year and there's so many other things that I'm just going to watch it once and move on or whatever. Like, no, I'm still going to fucking watch it over and over. Just like I did with Fight Club, just like I did with Black Snake Moan, just like I did with Perfume. Like, I'm still able to find things, even though there's more stuff than ever, I'm still able to find things that, you know, I really strongly connect to and obsess over.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of looking at it.
You know, not everything's for everybody. What's the last, you've never really been a movie guy. I was going to say, what's the last movie that.
That's another quote you could put up on the wall. Everything's for everybody.
Not everything's for everybody.
That should be your tagline on your website. That should be the first thing your clients see.
I always really like the expression is it is what it is. But then, oh, that's why I asked you if you watch Seinfeld, because he has a whole thing about, you know, it is what it is. And he totally kind of tears it down and shits all over it. And
what did Seinfeld say about it? Because I watched like, I would say 75% of that special.
He has a whole bit where he talks about people just say things twice in a row and they think it sounds important, but it's a complete waste of time. Like,
that's what I said.
It is what it is. And he goes, look, as long as we know what's what and who's, whatever happens, happens, or something like that. And it's really brilliant. I'm butchering it completely. But
yeah, you are. Definitely. I said that in a podcast not that long ago, one of these episodes.
That's why when I saw it, I texted you and I was like, have you seen this thing?
Oh,
because it was very relevant.
I came in late and I saw my wife had already started watching it, so I just picked up wherever she was.
Do,
so it must have been
I do
early
think
on
it's,
or something.
I do think it's toward the beginning. You should go back and look for it because it's a really tight, really perfectly worded little routine. But I mean, all of his stand up is his efficiency with words is brilliant. What are you laughing at now? Sometimes you just look at me and you just have to laugh.
It's because
do you feel like if we had a video component
to
our podcast,
it
would be more
it.
Successful?
You missed what? It. I'm surprised you didn't see that on my camera.
I'm on Facebook.
I'm recording this on the street, and like, there's people like walking by, and I'm sitting here with this microphone like this, and it's so awkward.
Oh yeah, do you notice anything different about my mic? Not that it's fucking gaff
tape.
Yeah,
you don't have
the mic stand.
You don't have the
not
fluffy thing on it.
Yeah, I'm done with that.
Why?
Because I hate it. I hate it. I hate this fuzzy thing rubbing my mustache, and I don't feel like we're gonna have a lot of wind noise in here. And the SM58. The main difference between the SM58 and the SM57 is that this grill right here is specifically designed to be a pop filter.
I know, but I can still get pops through it. Listen, I love the mic. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if it's good enough for Bruce Springsteen, it's good enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce sings with it live. I'm sure he doesn't record with it.
Yeah,
I guess
he
I'm
does.
Not sure. I don't
he does,
know. I don't give
because,
a fuck about Bruce Springsteen.
I just watched the Western Stars music, like the Bruce Springsteen like film on HBO the other day. It was really well done. But he's using an SM58 on stage.
Yeah, on stage, but I'm talking about in a studio. I'm sure he uses...
Yeah, probably not in the studio, but they recorded the thing live.
Yeah, I mean, the SM58 is the number one live dynamic microphone,
which is why
time.
I don't understand why people don't use it for podcasting more. It's $100 and they always like link to these weird USB condenser mics and stuff, which are fine, but I feel like this is such more of a more versatile microphone than all the other like $100 mics, so I don't know why people don't recommend them as often.
I mean, if you have a very controlled environment, a condenser mic, I mean, there's definitely are garbage condenser mics out there that sound like shit, but for the most part, a condenser mic is going to be better for spoken word. The reason why a dynamic mic is used for Bruce Springsteen is because it will pick up his voice without picking up the guitar and the drums. So it's very good at controlling bleed. That's one of the, that's why people use it in live performances. And it can also handle just a very wide dynamic range. You can scream into it or whisper into it, and you know, you're probably not going to blow it. But
you're proving my point.
But there's no guitar in this room. There's no drums in this room. I'm not trying to make sure that I'm not getting bleed over from another singer standing next to me or a bass guitar or something like that. So in these controlled environments, a condenser mic does make more sense because it will capture more little nuances and just it's just going to be cleaner, more accurate. It's going to capture more of the voice, the, you know, little harmonics and the little things that make all the timbre special. So this mic has a way of sort of compressing, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but All I'm saying is I would like for us to some point get into better mics.
You just want to have expensive shit.
Of course I do.
For a podcast that you previously didn't care about until today when you called it podcast.
Nope. I still don't care about it.
Remember when you said my podcast?
I mean, I care in the sense that it causes me great concern. I could go two ways. There's kind of three different ways I could go. I could see just stepping up this mic to the SMB7 because it's got really good, like, low handling noise, and, you know, it's just an overall better microphone. And it actually, I could see using it in recording down the line. A lot of singers that scream like the SMB7, so. You know, if I'm ever going to be recording metal bands or something, I could see like pulling that out on vocals. So I could see us going in that direction. I also really want a Lewitt Sub-Zero, which is like about an $800 mic. That's a large diaphragm condenser that I would really like to have for voiceovers. It would be an extremely versatile mic. I could use it to record instruments. I could use it to record I'd have to get two of them, but I could use it to record, you know, ambience and landscapes and stuff like that, which is like a thing that I am like really interested in doing, but I don't know that it's the kind of thing that there's no real business incentive for me to do it. I could just like, if I need a good forest soundscape, I could just go buy one for a few dollars online, or I could spend thousands of dollars on equipment and go out to the fucking marsh and camp and set up a microphone and wait on it for 4 hours. I mean, it's a whole fucking thing, but it's like, it's a thing I want to do for just my own creative freedom. It's not necessarily something that would make business sense or whatever. But anyways, that mic, I could use that for that. So then the other thing, and I think we've already talked about it on this, is I'd like to just do what they do for the guest mics on the Stern Show, which is they just have headphones like this, and then they have a Britney Spears lav mic, and like I would probably just get, you know, I'd want to get the Countryman. No, not the Countryman. I'd want to get the Sanken COS-11D, but as the wired kind of Britney Spears looking thing. I don't know what else to call it. I know there's a real name for it and I always forget what it is, but like the headset mic. Basically, I would like to just get that and just tape it to the headphones. And so that way I could walk around, I could move my head left and right and up and down, and no matter what I did, the microphone would be the perfect same distance from my mouth. And I just think for convenience, that would be a really fun way to podcast. I really actually think that's what Joe Rogan should do for his guests. One of the things that drives me nuts about his podcast is whenever he has a guest on that's a comedian or an actor or some sort of entertainer or whatever, it's not a problem. But he has these science nerds on and they're not used to being on mic, and he has to tell them every 10 minutes, and like over a 4-hour podcast, he says it 15 fucking times. He has to remind the guests, like, hey, just get a little closer to the mic. Just talk right into the mic, because they start drifting and drifting. And before you know it, you know, they're talking, you know, their face is two feet away from the microphone and it doesn't sound good. And he always has to go, yeah, just keep the microphone like about a fist's distance away from your mouth. And so they're constantly having to push it back in and the volume's all over the place. I'm like, dude, just put a fucking headset on them so that they can just talk and forget about the microphone. Yeah. It's so brilliant that they figured that out on the Stern Show, and every single guest comes in and the audio is perfect. That I'm just like, why doesn't every podcast and radio show do that? I can understand the actual DJ who's trained wants, okay, like, give me a nice, beautiful microphone and I'll put it on a boom arm and move it around and keep it in front of me because I'm a professional. But for guests and stuff, everybody should do it that way. So I feel like we should just do it that way for us.
Yeah,
but you want to just keep using right these $100 mics forever. Yeah, don't you ever want to put your hand down?
I could get a stand.
I'm exhausted. Just watching you hold that microphone, I'm exhausted.
I could get a stand. I get exhausted watching you walk up a flight of stairs.
So do I. Jesus.
So what do you got going on this week, man?
Well, I shot an elopement. We've shot two. We're kind of calling them elopement, but they're not elopement because they were forced into it because of COVID. But
are people wearing masks at these things?
Only for pictures. Everybody brings a mask. Nobody wears a mask. So the first one I did, there was only the bride and groom. Second one I did, they had like about 10 people. You know, they had parents and siblings and stuff or whatever. But everybody. Oh, and then there was another one that I went to where it was my sister-in-law's wedding, and I did not work it, but I was unwelcomed guest instead.
An angry, bitter guest.
A very angry,
hey, did you do the thing where you wore the hazmat suit and sprayed the Lysol during the vows?
No, I basically just didn't. I basically just didn't talk to anybody all day. I just kept my mouth shut.
You were just passive aggressive all day.
I just saw the mic clip.
Oh, you found it?
I found it.
Is it on your desk? Man, you were unfortunately, I had to be on the phone with you while you searched for that for like a half hour.
In your car, sweating, no less.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, it's like 90 degrees in my car.
Well, literally, it's right in front of me on the bed. I'm in my office is sort of a guest room, and I sit in the bed to do the podcast. And it is right next to my foot on the bed, and it has been there for a week, and it has been there the entire time we've been doing the podcast, like right the fuck in front of me.
Wow. Well, my wife just jogged like up the street in front of me.
Yoga pants or?
Yeah, she came home, I guess, midday. What's weird is I thought I saw her driving home, and now I just saw her out for a run.
Yeah.
You know what? I got this. You've got that elopement. How many more weddings do you have to
edit? Oh, you were asking about the masks. So everybody brings the masks, then nobody wears the masks. And then at some point we're all taking pictures and somebody goes, oh, let's all take a picture with our masks on. So then they put on the mask, they take a picture, then they take the mask right back off and put them in their pocket. So there's like all these, everybody's taking pictures of the masks because they want to remember the crazy times we're living in, but you're not actually wearing the masks. They're creating false memories.
Well, no, what they're doing is they're taking the obligatory photo that they can put on Facebook or whatever to show everybody. Right. Hey,
you got to prove
they're basically just telling everybody we're doing the right thing, but actually we don't give a shit deep down.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how I could tell you the story without giving away who it was, but we have, fuck, dude, I just can't talk about it.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it further down the road.
Anyway, I've edited one of those videos and now I'm going to do the other one this week. And then I've got one or two more like full on big time weddings from earlier this spring. So I've still got a bunch of editing to do. And then I shot with my new commercial client last week. And so I'll probably edit that next week. But yeah, basically a bunch of editing, no plans for shooting. And, you know, just regular everyday bullshit.
I'm super pumped because I'm on my last edit. So.
What are you going to do with all your free time?
I'm probably going to get my real estate license online.
Are you really?
Yeah.
How long have you been thinking about that?
I really was
hoping you were going to volunteer to help me with my editing. So this is not going the way I wanted it to.
This isn't good news for you.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting my real estate license. So. Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping my next two events in June cancel, which I think there's a 50 to 90% probability that they will. And then that'll give me the exact amount of time I need to go full time on the studying.
Get your license.
Yep. So that's my plan.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Are you going to quit videos soon?
No, I like it too much.
If you quit doing video work, which I'm sure you will eventually.
I mean, I hope I can quit weddings at some point, but I'll still do other things just because I like doing it. I also like the idea of just being, God, I hate saying this phrase, but content creator. I don't like the phrase, but I do like creating like videos and images and like setting stuff up for people and like all that kind of stuff. So I think I'd be a good quote unquote content creator, but we'll see.
Hey, so you know how one thing we've talked about in the past is that, you know, I have it in my mind, this kind of dream that I want to be a director, a feature film director.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then when I look at the actions I've actually taken, the things that I've actually studied, the things I've actually learned, the textbooks I've bought and read, the tutorials I've consumed, all that stuff.
All the girls you've banged.
I'm a virgin. Thank you.
Hey, I forgot to tell you about my homeless hotties idea. We'll talk about that next episode.
Pause that for a second. Anyways, when I look at what I've actually done, it seems that everything has really more pointed me towards being a director of photography than a director. And it happened again last night because I bought 1917 on Blu-ray 4K. And I watched it with the... since I already saw it in the theater, I went straight to the commentary. I watched it with the Roger Deakins commentary. And the fact that, you know, he's the director of photography and I watched that, and I don't really know that I'm ever going to get around to watching it with the director's commentary, Sam Mendes. And that when I watch that movie, I just think this is a Roger Deakins movie and I don't really think about Sam Mendes at all. And I don't really care to hear what he has to say about the movie. Is that another sign that I'm never going to be a director? That I really am just a DP?
Nah, man.
Or am I reading too much into it?
I think it's just another sign that you've got way too much time on your hands because you're watching commentary for like a 2-hour movie. And then you're telling me you don't have time.
I'm dedicated
for
to learning.
Else.
I'm dedicated to learning from the masters. That's not a waste of time to continue my education.
Yeah.
I learned a lot.
But how many movies have you shot?
Zero.
Oh, see, that's the problem. You like learning, but you don't like doing.
I do like doing. And I do like doing, but
Remind me to tell you about my homeless hotties idea for next episode.
Why don't you just tell me about it now? Tell you it's not going to work, but let's go.
All right. Well, we're already over, so this is a bonus portion for everybody that's still listening.
All right. What is your ridiculous idea?
Okay. You were telling me last episode or two episodes ago, we were talking about the probe lens, the 24mm. We started talking about the porn industry, and then you told me that it was too expensive to get into the porn industry because you had to hire the actors. Thus, my idea of homeless hotties. We find homeless hotties, okay? And we just pay them like market rate of what homeless people make, which is next to nothing. Boom.
So you're talking about sex slavery?
No.
You're talking about... So what you want to do is you want to find people that are mentally ill.
Not necessarily.
Maybe drug abuse problems.
Not necessarily.
Probably a history of sexual assault.
I hope not.
That are completely impoverished, and then you want to exploit them.
I feel like you're putting words in my mouth.
No. I think I'm gonna pass on this endeavor.
HomelessHotties.com.
But if you want to make a short film about quicksand, I'm in.
Short, pornographic, tastefully done. Of course, it's tastefully done. The homeless hotties would also be tastefully done.
Have you run this brilliant plan by your wife that you want to find hobo ladies and pay them minimum wage to do porn?
I prefer the term housing challenged hotties.
I prefer the term hobos because that's what they are. You want to pay hobos, p- pennies on the dollar for film fucking.
I prefer to call them frequently unhoused persons of people.
This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about, why I don't think it was a good idea to have a cat as the logo for our podcast. I don't think cat lovers are going to respond to this ideology that you're promoting. This is why I don't think cat lover is going to resonate
with
some of the content on this garbage show.
I think we should call it a
day,
because I am
fan?
Like drenched in sweat.
Hey, you sent me a screen capture of a fan saying, listening to every episode and loving it or something. Now, that was you, right? I mean, that's your burner account, right?
No, man. I actually had somebody comment on the Instagram.
It says Sebastian.
Don't give him away.
Just wanted to let you know that I'm here listening to every single episode and having a hell of a good time doing it.
There you go.
Now, that's not a real person, right? That's definitely a phony. I mean, that's like a Russian bot. Or
I hope, because it really made my day.
How is anybody listening to this podcast and enjoying it?
Dude, we have 30-something listeners. I'll tell you that much.
All right, let's call it here.
All right, buddy. See ya.
Later.
Hey guys, Michael here with Video Bros. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We love you for it. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe. Thanks so much.